I need to understand more. So I did what I normally do, and I did some Google dictionarying, and I typed in the contending. And I know that we've just spent March looking at contending, but here's the thing. I don't ever use the word contending. I don't think I've ever used it. And I probably never use the word renewal. Kids, has contending or renewal ever been on your spelling word list? Renewal? There you go, Caleb. Well, then you're ahead of me. Maybe. Okay? So here's the thing. I thought I want to know a little bit more about these words. And we did look at contending during March, but this is what Google said when I Googled it. It said, Google's top four definitions for contending were all about contending, meaning to compete in order to win. For example, Mark is contending for the heavyweight championship of the world. Yeah? Well, with one arm. Yeah, well done. Or in other words, to argue to win in a debate, and lastly, to strive against hardships. And what we discovered in March that for us in our context, contending is to wrestle for the sake of others. That's what March was about. It's a doing word based around competing, convincing, fighting for, praying for, against struggle. Or for the sake of others, meeting and experiencing Jesus. Now, in April, we're looking at renewal. And the first definition listed in Google were actually about contracts, the action of extending the period of validity. I can't even say it now. Thank you. Validity, something. or an instance of resuming something after a pause. Exciting stuff, hey? When I think of the word renewal, I don't think of renewing my comprehensive car insurance, but that was basically what it was saying. When I think of the word renewal, I think about the bush. After it's gone through a fire, and little green shoots are actually starting to appear. That's the picture I get in my head when I actually think about renewal, those little green shoots. Now, kids, what do you think of when you hear the word renewal? Tell your mum and dad what you think of. What picture do you have? Contending for the renewal. Maybe it's maybe for you, the picture is something like Matt's rusted Mustang that he had on screen last week. Only now it's restored and worth way more than the $2,000 that he was outraged about. It's pristine and its value has absolutely skyrocketed. Whatever it is for you, when we look at renewal in the context of what God is and has been doing and has promised, we find that renewal simply means to make like new, to restore, to redeem. Renew, kind of like the image I had with the bush fire, where little green shoots emerge and new life takes root. Renewal is and always has been God's plan and his promise. It's what he is constantly at work on, restoring all of creation to himself, making all things new. In Revelation 21, John writes, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the old heaven and the old earth disappeared, and the sea was also gone. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven like a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, 'Look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eye and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever.' And the one sitting on the throne said, 'Look, I am making everything new. Look, I'm making everything new.'" This is what God is doing. This is the promise we have. He's restoring creation to himself. Now, you've heard me say this before, and you're probably going to hear me say it again, but the Bible in a sentence could simply be put, God made it, we broke it, Jesus fixes it. It's a story of renewal. It lays out God's plan to restore what was broken and how he restores it through Jesus. This is God's heart. In Genesis it says, in the beginning God created, and it was good. Father, Son, Spirit, in right relationship with his creation. God walked daily with Adam and Eve, just as he intended. God in relationship with his creation. And it was very good. But we all know the story, hey? We know that Adam and Eve disobeyed God, and as such, relationship was broken and his creation was broken. This was not as God intended. God's plan is renewal, restoration. And through Jesus and the cross, when he took on the consequences of disobedience and sin, he restored relationship. God renews his creation through Jesus, and we get to participate in it as we trust in Jesus. In Colossians it says, for God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through the blood of the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were hostile in your minds, engaging in evil deeds, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy, unblemished, and blameless in his presence. Jesus renews a right relationship with God. It's through relationship with him that we are reconciled, restored, and ultimately transformed. God is a relational God. Father, Son, Spirit. His whole being is relational. And we were made in his image by him, for him. We're actually created for God. We were actually designed to be in relationship with him. We were made by God for God to coexist with him. And anything less is not how God operates. It's unacceptable to God, and he actually yearns to renew that relationship with us. In Luke 15, Jesus tells three stories and that actually illustrate God's desire to restore relationship with us. Now, lost sheep, lost coin, lost son, the prodigal son. Now, in chapel, we're going to do this chapel style today. We have these balls. And on these balls are the parables. Okay, got it? We call them these parables, not parables. Now, I've removed all the parables that are not in Luke 15 today, so there's only three in the bucket. And what we normally do is we ask one of the kids to come up, randomly pick a ball, and if they're able to tell you the story, they get a prize. Hence, I bought the prizes, okay? So there's three in there, lost sheep, lost coin, lost son. And I'm actually going to ask if there's any kids that are brave enough to come and pick a ball. I can see Nate's hands already up. Nate, you can come on down. Roy and Caleb, three boys today. And if they can tell the story, they get a prize, right? Which one do you hope that you pick, Roy?
Either the lost sheep or the lost son.
Okay. Now, here's the backup plan. If you can't, like, fully know the story that you pull out, it's okay because you can choose an adult to actually do this with you. Okay? And I know Mrs. Charlton's already down there.
I know.
Val's ready to go as the backup plan. Okay. What did you pick, Roy?
Lost coin.
The lost coin. Oh, no. Do you want to give it a go?
Yeah,
do you want to turn and look at everybody? Okay.
So there was a woman who lost... So she had a collection of coins, but then when she counted them, she had lost one, and so she goes around searching for it, and when she finds it, she's overjoyed and she celebrates.
You are correct. Roy, you may get a prize. Get a prize. You can take a bookmark, you can take a lollipop, you can take both, whatever you like. You are correct. 10 coins, one missing. She searches, and when she does find it, she calls her friends and she celebrates. You are correct. Yeah? You're doing okay with your... You're just getting a bookmark? Okay, awesome. Caleb, you're next. You nervous?
Nope.
What do you hope it is?
Probably the lost sheep.
Okay, well.
Yes!
Okay, can you tell the story?
There was a shepherd who had his sheep, and one ran away. So he went to look for it, but he couldn't find it. So, but when he found it, he came back and celebrated with his friends that he found it.
That was pretty good, Caleb. Pretty good. You may choose a prize. Now, here's the thing. He had 100 sheep. One went missing. Yeah. And he left the 99. He left the 99 behind to go and get the one. And he did. He celebrated when he got back. Now, Val, do you want to come and participate with the little monkey? And obviously, you know what you're going to get.
The prodigal son.
The big one.
If my Bible lessons inform me thusly, the lost son was where there was a father. And how many sons did he have? You going to say? No? Had two sons, and one was a kind of a good boy, and one was not such a good boy. And the not such a good boy left, and the father was so excited when he came back, and everyone thought, why are you so excited that the bad son came back? And it was all about that God welcomes everybody back. And that was the perfect parable and metaphor for it. Is that close?
That's close. That's well done. Thanks, Nate. Thanks, Val. Okay, so we might start with the lost sheep. Let me see. It says, so the lost sheep goes after, pursues, leaves the 99 that are already part of the flock for the one that wandered away. The lost one. Jesus is often depicted as a shepherd and we as a sheep. The 99 are those that are saved and the one is the one that's wandered away. And the shepherd knows exactly who is missing. He goes to, pursues, and brings back. He restores relationship with himself and with the flock. And then he celebrates. It says in verse 7, in the same way, there is more joy in heaven over one lost sinner who repents and returns to God than over 99 others who are righteous and haven't strayed away. God desires to restore relationship. This is his heart. Lost coin. Roy, you told that so well. The woman did lose a coin. She did search and search and search. She was relentless. She didn't give up. And just like the shepherd, she actually celebrates when what was lost is found. It says in 10, in the same way, there is joy in the presence of God's angels when one sinner repents. How good is that? Heaven celebrates when lost is found, restored. And then the lost son is a little bit different. Because the father doesn't go after. He waits with his eyes on the horizon, hopes for the son's return, and actively waits. He delights when the relationship is restored. The father in this parable is God, and the son, us, in our human nature, wanting to live our own way. In this parable, the son is coming to the end, came to the end of himself and had to turn back. And go back to the Father. He repents and he actually expects condemnation. He expects not restored relationship. But the Father is overjoyed and restores him as son. In verse 22 it says, but his father said to the servant, quick, bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him. Get a ring for his finger and sandals for his feet. The son is fully given the keys to the kingdom. The family ring is placed on his finger, which is like being given back the key to the house, your credit card, to the family bank account, access to resource, identity and authority because your name has been restored, and he gets unconditional love. Keys to the kingdom, new life, fully restored relationship with no conditions. God waiting diligently for people to turn back to him. So he can renew relationship, restore people to being sons, fully sons and fully daughters. You know, then there's the other son who just doesn't get it. He's always done the right thing. He's always been in a relationship with his father. He's always tried to honor him. He doesn't get it. can't understand what Dad's doing. It actually really frustrates him. He seemingly has never been given a party or given something from his dad, and he complains. He actually talks to his father, and this is what his father says in verse 31. "Look, dear son, you have always stayed with me, and everything I have is yours. We had to celebrate this happy day, for your brother was dead and has come back to life. He was lost, but now he's found." Your brother was dead. He was lost. Now he is alive, found. God yearns to restore relationship. Death to life. Renewal. His father's heart is on full display in this parable. The son is welcomed regardless of his mistakes, past decisions. He's valued, greatly loved, and welcomed home as son, as heir. The father, shepherd, and woman all knew the value of what was lost. It was theirs, just like we are God's creation and valuable to God. They pursued, found, and waited. None gave up until the sheep, coin, and son were found, returned, and relationship was restored. All three celebrated what was once lost being returned to its rightful place. The sheep to the flock, the coin to the coins, the prodigal to his place as son, all returned to their owners. Same with us. God, the Father, knows your value. You were made by him for him. You are his whether you know it or not. And he won't stop pursuing you, waiting for you, yearning to restore you to your rightful place as son or daughter. Or celebrating when your relationship is fully restored, made right. God's desire and plan is for you to actually know him, to be in relationship with him. Kids, youth, young people, you were made by God for God. You are highly valued, known, seen, and loved. Mums and dads and everybody else, you are highly valued, greatly loved. God wants to know you to know him. It's his greatest desire to be in relationship with us. God delights in us. You were made, I was made for him, and it isn't just for us sitting here, the 99. Even those that don't know that they have a Heavenly Father who created them, he actually wants to be in relationship with them too. They belong to him, even if they don't know it. The cross makes a way for restoration. God gave up his son, but it still requires a response, just like the prodigal. It took him turning back to the Father. He had to choose to turn back, repent, and then restoration of relationship came. His position as son was renewed. Choosing relationship with the Father brought renewal. These things you all probably know. We all have a choice to say yes, and it's through that relationship we're made right. Renewal happens in relationship. 2 Corinthians says, and all of this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to himself. We are a new creation, and we're actually invited into what God is doing. He gave us the ministry of reconciliation. We therefore have actually entered the fray, and God's mission is actually our mission. And it's not easy. It's countercultural. It's completely against our own human nature. And it's going to take resilience, persistence, and intention to reveal the Father's heart to others. Jesus himself modeled contending. He actually modeled God's mission, choosing to seek out the lost, the least and the lost, to actually bring reconciliation in relationship. In fact, he actually told those three parables in order to illustrate to his critics why it's important to actually hang out with the least. It says, just before those parables in Luke 15, says tax collectors and other notorious sinners often came to listen to Jesus teach. This made the Pharisees and teachers of religious law complain, and he was associating with such sinful people, even eating with them. So Jesus told them this story. Then it goes on to the parables. The lost sheep, the lost coin, and son. When just one that is lost is restored, and over those that are already found. The lost matters to God. The least matters to God. Jesus himself contends for renewal. He positioned himself to build relationship with those that were the least, the sinners and the tax collectors. He illustrated what it was to actually go after the one. You know, and it was hard. The father in the prodigal, although he didn't actually go after, you know, he didn't follow the son, but he actively waited. He trusted, he hoped, he had his eyes on the horizon. Robe, ring, sandals, ready. You can imagine him praying without ceasing for his son. His son was always at the forefront of his mind. And you can bet that he actually wanted to go. But he didn't. He waited. Because it's through the choice of free will that we see relationship restored and renewal take place. You know, renewal happens in relationship. And we have been invited to participate in bringing renewal. It's actually going to cost us something. Doing stuff with people is messy. Doing stuff with our own people is messy. It's going to cost us something. It could be uncomfortable because it involves people. But what a privilege that God actually invites us to be a part of what he's doing. Like, he actually trusts us with his mission. He invites us to participate, contending for the renewal of the Central Coast. It's a pretty big theme for the year, isn't it? And we have actually been, you know, we actually don't have to do this alone. We actually get this to do this together as part of Coast. So let me pray. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you that you're a good God. I thank you that you're a God who's already gone before us, who actually shows us what it is to go after the one, to be in relationship with others, and to love the least of, Lord. May we be people that just have our eyes open to those around us that actually need you. And may we be people that love each other well and love others well in such a way that they actually meet you and see you, Lord. I thank you that you trust us with your mission. I know that you already equip us. You promise that you do that. So I just ask, Lord Jesus, that we be bold and we have confidence in what you've asked us to do. In your name, amen.